is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we've been taking a look the last few weeks about who we are as Christians in the sight of God. And today's who we are comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. We are the body of Christ. We as Christians, we as the church, are the body of Christ. And we need to remember that as the whole church, not just this little congregation. I want to put this into context, the whole verse again from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And through all its parts, though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong in the body, it would not be good for that reason. It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and have given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And if the church God has appointed, and in the church God has appointed, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, and those to help others, those whose gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is God's word for God's people. You see, we're talking here about the whole church. The whole church being the body, not just this congregation, not just Faith Community Christian Church, but all Christians, whether they also call themselves Catholics or Lutherans or Baptists or Methodists or whatever. As followers of Christ, we're part of the one body together. And it is God's intention for us all to work together. You know, we see a lot of different churches have a lot of different ministries. And I know Faith Community Christian Church, being a small church, we really don't have all of the ministries we want. But one of the things I like about our church is the fact that we're very active in a lot of the things that we do. I have the prison ministry, which I, of course, go on endlessly about. Pastor Tom is a hospice chaplain. Pastor Ed, who does the Bible study over here and does a lot of visitation over at the nursing home across the street. We have a very active ministry involved in feeding the homeless down on the north side. We have the free market that you all have been so faithful in contributing to at the various times of the year when we're involved in that. And it's kind of funny, though, how those ministries, we rely on other people as well. I know it's really kind of amazing when I go in and with this the Kairos team and the prison ministry. One of the things that a lot of the residents, every once in a while, one of the residents will come forward and say the reason they came was because they found out that each of the men who were coming in to represent Kairos came from different churches. You know, there's some guys from some of the men are Catholics. A lot of them are from the Anglican Church. We have some guys from the Methodist Church, guys from the Lutheran Church, guys from non-denominational churches. And some of these guys, some of the residents come in just to watch us fight with each other. And we disappoint them, I'm very happy to say. It's funny how churches don't seem to get along with one another. I know a woman who was a pastor, I believe she was a United Methodist pastor, and she had two congregations. She was a pastor over two churches. One, she had her worship service at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the other had its worship service at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. So she's doing these two services, and she's got to run from one church to the other. And you wouldn't imagine how far she had to run to go from one church to the other. They were across the street. So she'd go at 9 o'clock and she'd do a worship service at this church. And then when she was done, she would go across the street and lead a worship service at the other church, two United Methodist churches across the street from each other. And could she ever get them to have a picnic together? No. Could she get them to consolidate into one church? No. The same denomination, the same pastor, having the same worship service, but something happened in the body of Christ to separate the two of them. And at some point in history, somebody in the church said, you know what? We don't like what's going on here, so we're going to go start another church across the street. And the same thing goes on in different places all over the world. Not just church to church, but sometimes with individuals. God has something in store for each of us. And he has that thing in store for us to benefit the church. Again, I'm not going to propose to tell anybody what the thing is that God has in store for them, because I don't know what God has in store for you. Sometimes I barely know what he has in store for me. But there's a thing there for you to do for God. Paul refers to us here as parts of the body. You know, we can't all do the same thing. And sometimes the things we want to do might kind of be things that we're not really that capable of doing. You know, God has very clearly gifted me as a preacher. Not that I'm bragging about how good I preach, but if you knew what I talk, the way I talk in real life, this is a gift that I can come up here and speak. At my day job at the bank, I think it was last fall, my supervisor asked me to give a presentation on how to do a certain process that we do. And I got up and I gave this presentation and it took about 10 minutes. And after the meeting, you know, we were leaving the little conference room where we were and she took me aside and she said to me, I thought I heard somebody say once that you were a pastor. I said, yeah. She said, you have a little church somewhere? I said, yeah. She said, you get up in front of a congregation and preach, right? I said, yeah. She said, well, how many are in your congregation? I said, there's usually about 20. She said, and you get up in front of them and preach? Yeah. Every week? Yeah. She said, tell me the truth now. Does anybody ever come back the next week? Because what you just did in there was awful. I said, well, next time we have one of these meetings, if you want me to, I'll stand up in front of those same people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and it'll be completely different. She didn't let me do that. But also, most of you have heard me try to sing. You've heard me try to lead music. And let's all be thankful that Robin's here if you've heard me try to lead music, because that's even worse than me trying to talk in front of people. But God hasn't gifted me in that way to be a musician, to be a singer. I'm not so gifted in that way. See, there's things that some of us are gifted for, some things that God has gifted us to do that other people are not gifted to do. And therefore, it's important that we all work together. Again, as I talk about the prison ministry, there are things that I can talk to people about in there that I have found other people can't. Other people don't know about. Other people can't talk about. I've been in some conversations with men who have had certain experiences that I'm able to relate to that I know other men on the team were not able to relate to. And likewise, there are things that some men that are in there have been able to talk to the residents about that I couldn't begin to understand. We work together. And when one of us doesn't work right, the rest suffers. Has anybody here ever had knee problems? When one of your knees isn't working right, the other one has to carry more, has to do more of the work. And it's going to wear out soon, too, under that extra labor. I guess that's true with hips, knees, ankles, whatever. You see, a part of the body, if it doesn't work right, the rest of the body will compensate for it, but it's still going to get dragged down, which is why it's important for us when we find the thing that we're supposed to be doing for God, when we find which part of the body we are, it's important for us to do that work. Now, I don't think it's really fair, though, for us to sit around and think about what it is that we do for the body of Christ and then try to figure out what part of the body that represents. I know there are people who do that, but it's important for us not to spend time trying to figure out, well, which one of the fingers am I? Or which one of the toes am I? Or, well, I do this in the church, so am I the left lung or the right lung? We don't need to worry about that. It's just important that we do the thing that God sets us to do. And sometimes it changes. He may call us to one thing today and maybe we'll be done with that. He's got something else for us ahead. Now, I've known people who have said, you know what? I've lived my life. I've been useful to God. I've been useful to the church. I'm done now. There's no way for me to be useful anymore. And that's not true. It's like the thing I always found kind of funny when pastors retire. It always bothered me when a pastor retired because as a pastor myself, I feel I've been called to this position by God. And my question then is, well, when does God say I'm done? I know my pastor growing up, Larry Houck, I know some of you would know him and have heard of him, but when he retired, it hurt my feelings. Because it was like he said he wasn't going to preach anymore. Well, it turned out that that's what he thought. And to be honest, I think his best sermons came after he retired. So I know he was going around and I think the title of every message he gave after he retired was, "This is the last message I'm ever going to give." And he just kept giving them. But he started preaching as if it didn't matter. He was giving the messages that he always wanted to give but didn't. We need to remember in our lives to do the work we always wanted to do but didn't. As long as we have breath, we can praise God. We can do His work. I know one of my favorite stories, I tell it time and again, and I'm going to tell it again here because it fits. My father, when he was in the hospital once, he had dementia, and I was visiting him in the ICU over at North Hills Passavant Hospital. And when we would have a conversation, our conversations would last about 5 minutes, and then they'd start over again. And I remember this one particular day visiting with my dad. I went in to see him and you know, we greeted each other. And I'm not always sure which of my brothers he thought I was. But we were talking for a little while, and then he'd stop and he'd say, "Where am I? Is this a hospital? It looks like a hospital." It's like, "Yeah, Dad, you're in the hospital." And I'd explain to him what was wrong with him that particular time. And we'd talk a little bit, and then he'd stop and look around and ask me again, "Where are we?" But I remember we'd had that conversation this one day about 3 or 4 times, and the nurse came in and she said to him, "How are you doing today, Jimmy?" And he said to her, "Well, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Everything's going to be all right." This coming from a man who didn't know where he was, and I don't think could remember what happened 5 minutes ago. And I got to believe that that's not the only time he made that statement, but he made that statement in my presence. And I got to say, again, the greatest statement of faith I've ever heard. But he was still working. He was planting that seed. He was able to testify to the nurses in the hospital that everything was going to be all right no matter what. And we all have that opportunity. The most important job any Christian has is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Whatever part of the body that does that, it's the most important thing any of us can do. I was reminded of a quote from John Wesley in the fact of us working together, in the fact for us doing what we can for one another. John Wesley said this, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. I care not if they be clergymen or laymen, and they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven here on earth." I don't think one of us alone can do that. But if we as a body, if we as the church, not just this congregation, but the church, with everyone else, can get together, we can rattle the gates of hell and establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Isn't that what God wants from us? Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh, can walk on your
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org. Benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today is body. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Not the whole thing, so we don't have to do everything, but part of it. There's a song by a band called Casting Crowns called If We Are the Body, and I want to leave you with the chorus of that song. It goes, "But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? The service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place, body of Christ, and get to work. Amen."